Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1, we hear now is God's word. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. The stranger shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring of the Lord as blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decked himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. Here we will read of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 19 in the back section. Page 19. This is the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12. This morning we will look at question and answers 31 and 32. I will read the questions, and you may respond together with the answers. Lord's Day 12, from page 19. Why is he called Christ, meaning anointed? Jesus. Last time we talked about his name. His name means God saves, because that is exactly what he came to do. We will give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. When we refer to Jesus, we often refer to him as Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to talk about that second word, Christ. Now, that was not Jesus' last name. That was a title that was given to him. And if you didn't have to go to the doctor sometimes, you go to the medical clinic and you go see Dr. So-and-so. Well, the doctor is not his or her first name. It is a title given to them. It's the same with Jesus. The title that he was given was the title Christ. And that title Christ tells something about who he is and about what he came to do. Jesus Christ. That word Christ is the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament word Messiah. It means anointed one. One who is anointed is set apart for a particular service, for a particular office. In the Old Testament, there were at least three different groups of people who were anointed. The prophets were anointed. The priests were anointed. And the kings were anointed. This morning, we're going to talk about Christ and his anointing. And we see by the pictures given to us in Isaiah chapter 61 that Christ in his anointing reflects and fulfills both Old Testament offices of prophet and of priest and of king. He was Jesus Christ. He was Jesus the anointed one. He had been given a job, he had been given a task, he had been equipped to come and do the work that God gave him to do. Isaiah begins, "When the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." Now this, of course, is Isaiah speaking. Isaiah speaking as one who has been anointed. Isaiah, in his prophetic office, anointed by God. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." The prophet came to declare good news. We saw in our Minor Prophets series that the prophet's first task was not so much to foretell the future. The prophet's first task was not going to predict what would happen. The prophet's first and primary task was to declare the word of the Lord. Now, that at times had implications for their future, but his task was not so much foretelling as declaring, "This thus says the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." The prophet came to declare the word of God. In that way, the prophet of the Old Testament is like the apostle in the New Testament. We're studying the book of 1 Corinthians and the apostle Paul. And he comes to us and he tells us what the word of God is. That is his office. That is his role. He declares to us the word of God, a message of good news. That's what prophets did. They said, "Thus saith the Lord." And in the work of Jesus Christ, we see that ongoing declaration of good news. And the gospel is good news. We have a faithful record of that good news. That God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, to cleanse us, and to make us his children. That's the good news of the gospel. We must never let that good news of the gospel be overwhelmed by bad news. Now, certainly there is bad news when reflecting upon our relationship to God. The bad news is that left to ourselves, we are dead in transgressions and sin, and there is nothing we can do to save ourselves. That's the bad news. But there are some times that we let that bad news so overwhelm us. Perhaps even in church, when you hear again and again and again about how sinful and bowed down and terrible we are, and then the last 2 minutes or so, and by the way, God is saving you. We rejoice in the good news. Yes, we recognize our fallenness. Yes, we recognize our sin. But the heart of coming together is not to bemoan our sinful condition. The heart of coming together is to praise God for what He has done, for the good news of the gospel. The law points out our sin. The gospel speaks of the grace of God. The Spirit, the sovereign Lord, is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Jesus brought that good news. Not only in the word that He said, but in the word that He was. Remember, John said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. A reference to Jesus Christ not only as the one who brings the Word, but one who is the Word. He fully fulfilled that Old Testament office of prophet in His life and in who He was. He was the one who was God's word to His people. Jesus, in His ministry, in Luke chapter 4, will reference this particular text in Isaiah 61. We read in Luke chapter 4, and He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as was His custom, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. He unrolled the scroll, and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, so that liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And He rolled up the scroll, and gave it to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogues were upon Him. And He said to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today, this scripture, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to declare good news." This has been fulfilled. He was the Word of God, the one to perfectly reveal, as our confession reminds us, the secret counsel and will of God for our deliverance. The good news of the gospel. That in spite of our fallenness, in spite of our sinfulness, God, in His love and mercy, has redeemed us. He sent His Son, the Word, to announce and declare that it is true. Why is He called Christ, the Anointed? Because He is ordained by God the Father and anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher. Christ was anointed as a prophet. And that prophetic anointing spills over to us. I love the parallelism in Lord's Day 12. Why is He called Christ the Anointed? But why are you called Christians? Because we too share in a prophetic office. Because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in His anointing to confess His name. We, as those who have faith in Jesus Christ, that chief prophet, share His anointing as prophet. We share that anointing by confessing His name, by acknowledging who He is, by recognizing Him as Jesus, God's faith. The one who has saved us from our sins. We confess His name this morning as we gather together in worship. We lift our voices in song and praising Him, confessing Him as the true God, the triune God, the great God. We recognize who He is. We recognize what He has done. We recognize His presence. That great prophet, we echo His confession. He is the one who came to fully declare the Word of God to us. And we as we worship, take God's Word on our lips to declare His praise. Take God's Word on our lips with that prophetic voice to declare His praise. And take God's Word on our lips, not only as we confess His name in worship, but as we confess His name in our homes, and with our families, and with our children, teaching them the glories of the good news, teaching them the blessings of God's grace. Oh, we will correct them, we will instruct them, we will remind them of their sin. Always with the goal of pointing them to Christ, of teaching them about repentance, about forgiveness, because God has forgiven us. Because He has been so gracious, He has been so merciful. That's the good news that we live out. That's the good news that we proclaim, not only today in worship, but in our lives, our homes, and our jobs, with our classmates. Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, anointed to bring good news. The Spirit of God upon me, the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim liberty for the captives. He would come and declare the truth, and then He would accomplish that truth. The one who would bring liberty to those held captive. Now, what would Israel hear when they heard this? They would think of a real life captivity. The northern kingdom had already gone into captivity. These words spoke in the southern kingdom on the edge of the captivity. And we hear these words, He will release the captives. There would be a real, a literal, natural interpretation. Oh, there's going to be one who will come and actually set free those people who have gone into captivity. An opening of the prison for those who are bound. They would hear about a real release from bondage. It is a picture for us of what Christ has done. Also, a real release from bondage. We are those who are not held captive by a foreign oppressor, but we have had a spiritual captivity, held bound in our sin and bound by Satan. And Christ comes to proclaim and accomplish a liberty for us as captives, just as real as it would have been for those Israelites being released from their captivity. We are no longer bound in our guilt and our shame. We are no longer bound and weighed down by our sin. For Christ came to proclaim and accomplish liberty, to bind up the brokenhearted. Encourage and strengthen His people. Our confession says, He is ordained by God the Father, anointed by the Holy Spirit, to be our only high priest, who has set us free by the one sacrifice of His body. He has set us free. Release us. No longer under the bondage of sin. No longer needing to live with shame and with guilt and with anxiety and with depression over what we have done. We have been released just as surely as having the prison doors thrown open. God has released you from your sins. God has released you from your bondage through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ, the one who came to proclaim and accomplish liberty for the captives. And He says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. is that year of the Lord's favor? Well, the prophet is talking here about the year of Jubilee. Time for Israel was very, very important. The structure of time was very important for them in their, not only in their regular life, in their worship life. They had a pattern set by God of working for 6 days and resting for one. That was a pattern given to them. A sabbatical pattern. Working 6 days, resting a day. That sabbatical pattern played itself out in the way they did their work. They were to work their ground for 6 years and then give their ground a year of rest. A sabbatical pattern. Work and rest. And beyond that, there was even a bigger pattern that was in play. This structure of 6 years and one, I mean 7 years sabbatical, after seven of those sabbatical structures, there was the 50th year, the year of God's favor, the year of Jubilee. It was a time to rejoice, it was a time to celebrate. What happened in the Jubilee was that there was a return to the regular structure of life. All lands reverted to the original owner. In Israel, you really couldn't buy land or sell land. You could only sell and buy the use of land. Because God is telling the people, you will have a place, you will have a land. In the 50th year, that land would revert to its original owner. That was the year of God's favor. We didn't celebrate. But what would happen? They would have a land. They would have a place. The prophet says, I have come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. A picture of what God, through Christ as priest, has done for us. Offering himself that we might return to our original home. Those bound by Satan, those bound by sin, release, redeem, binding up the broken heart, liberty from the captives, and return to favor with God. A return back to him, being redeemed and brought into that loving relationship. Christ came as that great high priest to do his work of redemption, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Why is he called Christ in the anointed? He is our only high priest. But why are you called Christian? Christ's anointing as high priest, just as a prophet, overflows to us. I am called Christian, we say, because by faith I'm a member of Christ and I share his anointing. I am anointed to present myself to him as a living sacrifice of faith. A sacrifice of faith is a priestly duty. We're not talking about a sacrifice for sin. That has been offered once for all in Christ, our great high priest, who set us free as the captives. We're talking about offering sacrifice of thanksgiving, those words reflected in Romans 12, offering up ourselves as living sacrifices to God. That is a priestly work you have been called. If you have faith as a member of Christ, you have been anointed. You have been set apart. You've been called to offer your lives as living sacrifices to Him. God has been so good to send us Christ in our name. Christ our prophet, who brings good news. Christ our priest, who proclaims liberty for the captives. And then the prophet Isaiah says, verse 3, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. He has been alluding to the work of Christ. Christ our prophet and Christ our priest. And And so is this beautiful headdress that Christ put on. A headdress over this is like a crown, something to wear on one's head. What type of crown, what type of beautiful crown did Christ offer to us? What type of crown did Christ wear? Well, we read in the story of his crucifixion, he was given a crown. Not a beautiful headdress to wear, he was given a crown of thorns. A crown that hurt. He received punishment in that crown, that we might receive the blessing. The prophet here gives us these hairs in contrast. A beautiful headdress to put of ashes, gladness for the morning, praise for the faint spirit. And that's exactly what Christ did. He came to give us the opposite of what we deserve. And he took upon himself the curse that we could have the blessing. He wore the crown of thorns that we can have the beautiful crown, the crown of righteousness. He was the one who was faint so that we could pray. He was the one who mourned in the garden so we could have gladness. He wore the crown of thorns, but we have the crown of beauty and gladness. Christ came to anoint us and to ordain us to live for him. Verse 10, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. All these pictures of the redeemed man and woman in Christ. He has been anointed by the Holy Spirit to be our eternal King who governs us by his word and spirit. But why are you called Christian? Because you have been anointed to strive with all good conscience against sin and the devil in this life. In other words, to live like one who has been redeemed. The prophet here says in verse 4, they shall, verse 3, they shall be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. This picture of oaks and righteousness and planting, the picture of a tree, reminds us of the word of Psalm 1, that the righteousness is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf is not withered, whatever he does prospers. God's blessing upon those who follow in his way. God's blessing upon those who with good conscience strive against sin and against the devil, who strive to live for him by the power of that Spirit that anointed him. He gives us the crown of righteousness, the glory of belonging to him. He gives us the glory of the garment of salvation, that we might know we have been redeemed by God and now live with God, now and forever. We are anointed. Anointed that reflects the kingship of Christ to rule and reign on the earth now, that we might reign with him forever. We receive the crown of righteousness, the beautiful headdress given to us. Not a crown of thorns, not that curse which we deserve, but the blessing that comes from belief in Jesus Christ. The one who took the curse, that we could be blessed. Christ. Why is he called Christ in the Lord? He came to fulfill a particular work. He has been ordained by God the Father and anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher. And why are you called Christian? Because you too must confess the same. Today in worship, and in your families, in your work, in your education, in your income. Why is he called Christ the anointed? He's been anointed to be our only high priest, put us free by his one sacrifice of his body. We've been redeemed, we've been set free. We've been given your Lord's favor. And why are you called Christian? That you might offer yourself as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice to him in the week to come. So why is he called Christ being anointed? He's been anointed to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, who guards us and keeps us in the freedom he has won for us. Christ the King rules. He was crucified and then he raised once again and sits now at God's right hand, ruling over all creation. But why are you called Christian? That you might strive with good conscience against sin and the devil in this life, to rule and to reign along with Christ, now and afterward, to reign with Christ over all creation for all eternity. Oh, the glory of knowing Jesus Christ, God's anointed one. Do you know this Christ? Do you know this one? Do you recognize he is your prophet, your priest, your king? If you do, then you too have been anointed. Go out and exercise that general office, prophet, and priest, and king, in the week to come, in your life to come. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, how we praise you for the work of your Son Jesus Christ, the one who was ordained by you and anointed by your Spirit to perfectly fulfill the Old Testament prophet priesthood. Oh, we praise you for what he has done. We praise you for the gift of salvation. We praise you for the declaration of that good news. We praise you for his ruling us through his word and spirit. Lord God, may we not forget. We call ourselves Christians. This truth has to affect us, has to change us, has to mold and shape us. So we pray that you might give us that extra measure of your Spirit. That we might go forth today confessing who you are, confessing your praise. We might go forward and present ourselves to you as a sacrifice. We might offer with good conscience. Strive to live for you in every part of life. Oh Lord God, hear our prayer and strengthen us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.